الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وقال إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Most respected ulama ikram, elders and dear friends. It is narrated and mentioned that whenever the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in they would meet, then they would not part ways, they would not conclude and adjourn their meeting until one of them would recite Surah Al-Asr completely to the other, and then they would make salam, and then they would depart. This is because they understood the profound meaning of the surah, the great lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us in the surah, advising men in the surah. And likewise, it is also mentioned, it's a saying of, so I can't remember who's saying it is, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, I've met such people, referring to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, who valued their time more than they valued their wealth. So they understood, they knew that wealth is something that is replaceable, you have it today. If it's gone today, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you now, you can give it to you again. You can receive more, you receive less. You can get the wealth is something that is replaceable. But time, the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated for each of us, for our period of existence in this dunya, then this is limited, restricted and governed. That amount of time that we have come with in this world to spend and earn what? Earn our jannah. And this is restricted. This is something, if it is lost, if it is squandered and if it is wasted, then it cannot be gained, it cannot be regained. You cannot make up for it. So to highlight the importance of this aspect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَالْعَصْرِ by the oath of time, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ Mufassirun explained that generally, when a person takes an oath, then he takes an oath to show his truthfulness of whatever matter he's going to speak about. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most truthful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from this, that he needs to take an oath on anything to show his truthfulness. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath on time for us to understand the importance of the subject matter, to the importance of time. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately mentions, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ that indeed man is at a loss. So the commentators explain that because these ayat are joined, the oath is on time, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed man is at a loss. What does this mean? It means that with regards to the aspect of time, with regards to valuing time, man is at a great loss. And this is further corroborated and strengthened by the hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغِ that there are two ni'mats, two ni'mats from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which many people incur a loss. And those are good health and free time. So how do we incur a loss in good health and in free time? When a person is blessed with good health, then many a times he is duped by shaitan, he is bluffed by shaitan, that I'll carry out some actions later, I'll do something later. Now he is in a condition of good health, he has the energies, he has the strength, and he has the ability to do it. What will come later in his health condition, he doesn't know. He can be well today, and in a moment he can become so ill that he will not be able to carry out any good deeds that he used to be able to, he would have been able to carry out previously in his condition of good health. So, in this regard, man is at a loss. He incurs a loss in this way that he procrastinates things to a later time. Little does he know that his health would, may not warrant him to carry out those good actions which he would be able to carry out while he's in a state of good health. And then he will lament over that and he will be sad over that. Likewise, a person may have the time at his disposal now to be able to carry out good actions. But he will say, no, I will do it later. I'll do it when I retire. I will do it when I'm older. I will spend time in the masjid when I'm older, when I've finished off with my setting up my business, etc. We don't know what condition can overcome us in the future. The time that is available to us to do something now may not be available in the future, let alone the distant future, in the near future also. A person can become, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make him become preoccupied in something that will take away all his energies and his time, and he will not be able to achieve what he would have been able to achieve at the time when he had the free time at his disposal. And then he will lament and he will be sad that it's a tragic loss, that when I was able to do more, when I was able to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill his obligations, I didn't do it at that time. But it will be too late. In the business world, we understand that a successful businessman is that person, the person who is regarded in the business fraternity as a successful businessman is that person who utilizes the least amount of capital and realizes and yields the greatest amount of profit. So he uses the least amount of capital for his investment, but he turns the money and he makes a greater profit with the least amount of capital used. So that person would be generally termed as a good businessman, a skilled businessman, an intelligent businessman. However, if a businessman is using his capital wealth and making wrong decisions and wasting his capital wealth, diminishing his capital wealth and not seeing any returns, not seeing any profit, then such a businessman, he would be regarded as a failure, a person who has not realized the object of his trade, that he's supposed to try to make a profit with the least amount of money spent so that his gain is more. In the like way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to this dunya to conduct trade. Conduct trade for what? Conduct trade for us to earn Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from man. What he has purchased from man? His life and his wealth in exchange of Jannah. So we understand that a person, he brings Iman. Bringing Iman is the first and only way in which a person can be saved from the fire of Jahannam and enter into the everlasting bliss of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter us all into Jannatul Firdaus without hisab. But in order to expedite that process and to be saved from punishment in Jahannam and to reach Jannah and to reach the highest stages in Jannah, a person has to carry out amal salihah. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, that you need to utilize yourself, your life, and your wealth to earn Jannah. So if we analyze this, our capital in this world as human beings is this life that we have. Every moment of time that we have been blessed with, strung together in a chain of continuity which makes up our life, whether it's 50 years, 60 years, 30 years, 70 years, those moments of time that are chained together in a string of continuity, this is our life, this is our capital, this is what we have to use to earn the rewards of the hereafter, to earn our Jannah and to earn a greater Jannah. So if a person does not utilize this capital of his that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, he doesn't use it and spend those moments in earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fulfilling the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set upon him, and in keeping away from those things that he's supposed to be avoiding, then he will definitely be at a loss because he will be wasting his capital. In the business world, if a person, a businessman, has a certain amount of capital and he keeps this capital away, locked up in his safe, for example, a person has 10,000 rand and that is, he's planning on starting his business with this 10,000 rand. And he takes this 10,000 rand and he safely locks it away somewhere where it is protected from theft and it is protected from any other mishap or misfortune. Then this 10,000 rand of his will remain as it is. After many years also, if he takes it out, it will still be the same, that same 10,000 rand, he will be able to use it. However, when it comes to the aspect of time, the capital of time that a person possesses, that a person has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with can be termed as a liquid capital. It is continuously flowing away, whether a person is doing something or whether a person is doing absolutely nothing. This time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with is continuously flowing away at a constant rate. His life is diminishing. The moment of time that he possessed a minute ago, rather a second ago, once that second has passed and he did not utilize that moment of time in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that moment of time is a part of him that has diminished and has gone away and he can never get it back. So that is the difference between the capital of wealth and the capital of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Ulama explain by means of an example that you can take an example of a person who goes out to sell ice. He has a large block of ice and he goes out to sell it. So he leaves home, he has dependents at home, he has expenses at home, and he knows that he has to sell this ice block and come back home with some income, some money, so that he can put food on the table, he can take care of his family. However, when he departs, as he is en route to the market to sell his ice, he encounters some children that are playing football in a field. So he stops and he is amused by them and he is watching their game, their dribbling tricks and the way they are scoring goals, etc. Little does he realize that an entire hour has passed and one third of his asset, his ice, has diminished, it has melted. Anyway, he suddenly realizes, hey, what am I doing? And he starts moving on. After a while, as he's traveling, coming to the marketplace, he passes by a circus on the side of the road, and there the different animals are doing their tricks, etc. And again, he becomes engrossed in that, and another hour passes, another third of his ice block is melted, and then he realizes, hey, what's going on here? So he gets a shake-up, a wake-up call, and he starts moving again. He moves a little bit more. Then he meets some of his friends and they start getting into a chit-chat. They're talking about this and that. Again, another hour passes and his entire asset has melted away. Now he's wringing his hands and he's lamenting that what I would have been able to sell and bring something home with, I wasted it and I can't. What am I going to go home with? Respected brothers and elders, ulama explained that our lives are very similar to this. Whereas he, this ice seller, stood on the side of the road watching the kids kicking a football, many of us sadly are stuck with different hobbies and different pastimes, some of them even impermissible, where we while away hours. And this irreplaceable asset of time is lost. Like how he stood on the side of the road and watching those circus acts going on, some of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, are stuck to our devices, stuck to the TV, watching movies, reading novels, stuck playing games on our devices, etc., where we are thinking that we are scoring points, but we are scoring points for absolutely nothing. And this addiction of the games, wherein hours are wasted, is not only restricted to little children. Sadly, adults are also stuck in this addiction, where they will be trapped on their phones or trapped on their devices for hours on end, playing games which scores absolutely naught, zero. And like how he stood on the side of the road, chit-chatting to his friends, we at times get caught up in chit-chat with our friends, either human friends or friends behind the screen on different chat sessions, etc. And then, aside from the chat and the talk, wasting our time, the nature of the chat, the nature of the discussions, many a times are questionable or rather impermissible. Sometimes we are running somebody down. We are making the ghibat of another person. We are picking on somebody. We are taunting somebody. And we are portraying ourselves behind the screen as somebody else and lying, whereas we are somebody else altogether. All these are different wrongs, different gunas, aside from the fact that we are wasting this valuable asset of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a solution here in Surah Al-Asr that yes, man is indeed at a loss with regards to this time, but what is the solution? How can he come out of it? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ. This is a 4-point solution. 2 points are for a person's self-reformation and correction, and the other 2 points are for the correction of society at large. So a person, firstly, he will bring iman, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except that person who will not be at a loss, that person who brings iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carries out good deeds. He uses this time of his to carry out amal saliha, which will fuel his vessel, fuel his ship, which is taking him to Jannah, fuel it so it will move towards Jannah safer and quicker. وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they advise each other towards truth, and they advise each other towards patience and steadfastness. Ulama explain that this part of the ayat refers to a person together with reforming himself and bringing iman and carrying out amal salihah, a person also advises others to do good and to refrain from evil. A person cannot remain in an environment or in a society of evil and easily be able to carry out good deeds and amal salihah. He will be affected by the environment around him. Similarly, in our homes, we have a mini environment. We want our children to be ideal Muslims and Muslimas. We want them to perform the salah on time. We want them to be regular with the recitation of the Quran Sharif, etc. But the mini environment that we create in the home is completely inconducive or opposite to what we are expecting of them. We ourselves are not performing our salah or not performing it on time. We have no tartib or system of the recitation of Quran Sharif in our house, making zikr and reciting durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, having regular ta'aleem in our homes. But we have this aspiration that our children, they go to madrasa for 2 hours, 1.5 hours, and the Molana or the Apa in the madrasa must make all that happen. They must come back as angels, and what we do in our home, that's our business. No, we will be questionable for on the day of Qiyamah for our flock. We have to create the correct environment in our homes, and by each of us improving the environment in our own homes, bringing deen into our own homes, in the broad spectrum of society will inshallah improve, and the mercy and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend upon us. We are now in the Mubarak days, speaking about time, as Mawlana Zakaria Sahib Daum Barakatuh had explained in his bayan regarding Zulhijjah and Qurbani. There are certain times of the year which are more special than other times of the year, like the month of Ramadan. So now also we are in a special time. The 10 days of Zulhijjah, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, are a special time from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should spend our time in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a greater extent in these special moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Because in these moments, for example, a person fasts for one day in the first 8 days of Dhul-Hijjah and he receives the reward of 1 year's fasting per day. And a person fasts on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah on Yawmul Arafah and his sins of the previous year and the coming year are forgiven. A person makes ibadat in the nights of these nights of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 9 nights of Dhul-Hijjah, and he receives the reward of making ibadat on Laylatul Qadr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these special moments. And if we don't show appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by whiling away the time in these special moments, or rather spending these special moments in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how ungrateful are we to our majestic and forgiving Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we spend our lives always in His obedience and we keep away from every act of disobedience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. There's one announcement that on the day of Eid, on Monday only, on the day of Eid, Fajr Jamaat in our masjid will be at 5:45 a.m. Only on Eid day, Fajr Jamaat will be at 5:45 a.m., quarter to six, inshallah.